this story in God's Word that we're going to study this morning records for us one of the greatest acts of humility ever recorded in history. Let's begin reading in verse number 1, John 13, chapter 13, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper," this is what we call the Last Supper, "supper being ended, the devil, having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him," to betray Christ, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poureth water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded." Here we see God in the flesh washing the filthy, nasty feet of sinful men. I want to remind you, this is the God-man. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. This is Jesus Christ serving others instead of demanding to be served, which he could have rightfully done. It's really mind-boggling when you read that. It's mind-boggling. I mean, I want you to get the picture with me that in those days, tables were low to the ground, and it wasn't like us with chairs. They would typically be in more of a reclining mode when they would eat, and so they would gather around a table closer to the ground. They would kind of be like this maybe, and you can see your feet there are kind of visible for people to see. And so back in that day, feet were a bigger deal, I guess you could say, than today, because your feet would get really dirty with the open sandals and the dirt, all the dirt and filth in the streets, just dirt streets. And so it was very common that whenever you go into somebody's home, they would have a servant there that would wash your feet, you know. And so they're in an upper room they've rented. There's no servant there to do it. And so it's almost as if Jesus is sitting there, they're eating supper, and they're all kind of kicked back like this, you know, they got their feet up. And Jesus Christ sees their feet haven't been washed and that they're dirty. And so Jesus Christ gets up from the table. And the disciples are probably sitting around, all 12 of them, thinking, where's he going? What's he doing? And the Bible says that he went over here and he grabbed a basin. And then he grabbed some water. And the Bible says that he took the basin and he filled that with water. And then he set the basin down, and the Bible says that he picked up a towel. And he took his outer garment off. You know, you take your coat off when you're going to work, right? He's fixing to work. And so he takes his coat off, takes his outer garment off, and the Bible says that he girded himself. In other words, he put the towel around his waist like that, and he took the basin of water. And they're all watching. And all of a sudden he goes over and he stoops down like this and kneels down and takes their feet and begins to wash them in the water. Takes the towel, dries them off. And then he picks up the basin. He moves over here to the next disciple, kneels down in front of him, takes his feet, cleans them off, dries it off with a towel. And he went all around the table doing that. And this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And you know, sometimes I say when we read Philippians 2, 6, 7, and 8 in Paul's writings, when we read those principles of Christ, it's easy for them not to really impact our lives. And when you read this, it paints a visual on your mind of what Philippians 2, 6, and 8 are talking about. It's in your handout. Look at it. I put it in there for you. Philippians 2, 6 through 8. It says that Jesus being, now look at it, church. Jesus being in the form of who? God. thought it not robbery to be equal with God. He was God in the flesh. But he made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he what? Humbled himself. And he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that like paints a picture on my mind, this text paints a picture on my mind of what I just read in Philippians 2. I mean, Jesus Christ makes himself of no reputation, guys, no reputation. He takes upon himself the form of a servant, literally, because only the lowest of servants and slaves would clean feet, people's feet in those days. That was a job left to them. And Jesus goes and just completely and totally just humbles himself. And I got to tell you, that passage, I can't hardly read that without it bringing me to tears. Because I want what Jesus had. I want that. I want that. I'm like, I read that and I'm like, man, I want that. I want what he had. I want that humility. I want that unselfishness that would lead me to think of others above myself. Because I got to tell you, that don't come natural to Dan Proctor, does it you? It doesn't come natural to me, that. You know, but yet you read in Philippians 2 where he said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In other words, Paul's saying, I want you to think like Jesus, church. I want you to think like him, and I want you to pick up the towel, and I want you to serve others. This thing of serving others is it really is a key to a joyful life. In fact, look at verse 17. Look what he said there at the end. Verse 17, after he does all this, he says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. It's the key to a joyful life. It's this thing of serving others like Jesus, having that mind of Christ. It's the key to living a life of impact. It's the key to living a life of true meaning. And I'm not talking about just once in a while picking up the towel. I'm not talking about just, you know, well, I had a really good day today and I read my Bible and I prayed and I'm really feeling good, so I think I'll be generous today. No, I'm talking about this becoming a way of life. I'm talking about his mind getting inside of you and this being the way you live. You're picking up the towel and this is the way you live your life. Your life revolves around this thing. You really live to serve others. The Apostle Paul talked about being filled with the fullness of Christ. Letting Jesus overflow in your life. That's what that means. Being filled with the fullness of Christ means he's overflowing in your life. But in your handout it says, there's just simply no way to be like Christ and to show forth Christ if we aren't serving. There's just no way. He can't flow out of my life. He's not flowing out of my life if I'm not serving. Look at verse number 14, and Jesus makes that pretty clear, doesn't he? Look at verse 14. If I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example. Notice that. I have given you an what? Example. That ye should do as I have done to you. Christ was the greatest servant that ever lived. And this morning, I want to learn from him. You know? I want that spirit of service that filled his mind. I want it to dwell in me. And how do I do that? How can I be like Christ? How can I pick up the towel? And how can I serve other people? How can I have that heart? You know, it says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And so this morning, I just want to look at the first couple of verses of this. We're going to come back and look at it again next week. But I just want to look at what motivated him to act that way. You know what? I want to get inside his mind and find out what made him tick. How could he live that way? How could he go wash filthy, nasty feet, something a servant did? How could he do that? What made him tick? What? I want to get inside his mind and find out. Well, I can, thankfully, through his word, I can get inside his mind and find out how he could do something like that. And so the first verse is what we're going to key on first. And I want you to write this in your handout. This is a key. Christ's love led him to serve. Christ's love led him to pick up the towel. I want you to look at verse number 1 again. Look at this. It says, now, before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of this world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved, now read the last phrase with me, he loved them unto the end. Let's do it again. Come on, get with me now. What does it say? He loved them unto the end. Good. Now you're with me. Christ served out of love. There you have it. That's the motivator, is that Christ loved these guys so much, and his heart was so full of love, and he served out of that love. He loved them unto the end. He loved them unconditionally. This is such a key concept. I cannot emphasize enough how key this thing is. Love is the only motivation that will bring true lasting change in our lives, period. To have a heart of humility, to have a heart of service over the long haul, it has to come from love within. Because if it doesn't, what'll happen is that you will grow really weary of serving. You will get discouraged with those that you're serving. You will get frustrated with them. You will get discouraged. You'll get tired. You're just going to want to quit. You're going to feel like, man, I am serving, and they're not reciprocating back. And you're going to feel like, man, I'm doing all this, and no one even cares. Nobody's paying me back. And if it doesn't come from love, then you're not going to be able to sustain it for very long. But on the other hand, love is the greatest motivator in the universe. When Christ fills your heart with true divine love, then you can't do anything but serve. And listen, guys, I just want to say, if we aren't serving, if we have an issue with this, and listen, some of us do. We just need to be honest. We just need to be very open to that. He may want to bring some changes in our life. And we need to be very open to that, because we don't want to keep repeating the same mistakes. We don't want to just have a string of broken relationships in our life. You know, so God may want to, he may want to do some work in us. He may want to change us. And we need to be really open to that. And we need to just say, you know, if I struggle with this thing of serving, and I just kind of have this attitude that people ought to serve me, and I ought to get my way, you know? And if we struggle with this thing, then we need to understand it is a love problem, because love leads you to serve. We see that in the text. There's a statement in your handout. I want you to get this, and I'm just going to give you half of it, and then I'm going to say something, and then we're going to give you the other half. But here's the first half of it. Ready? It says, you can serve and not love. You can serve and not love. Is that true? Yes or no? You say, well, of course it's true, Pastor Dan. You put it in the handout. Okay, but here's the deal. It is true, because you can I serve because I want to be noticed? That's my motivation. It's not love. I'm serving because I want to get noticed. I'm serving because it's expected. I'm serving because I feel guilty. Well, that's a big one, right? I feel guilty, so I want to serve. Some of you may be here today because you just feel guilty. Oh, I got to go to church, you know. And so you serve because you feel guilty. You serve because you want something better back from the person you're serving. You're hoping to get something better back. Maybe we serve because of promised reward, like a paycheck at the end of the week, right? Isn't that right? I mean, sometimes we serve, it's not out of love, it's because I know I'm going to get a paycheck at the end of the week, so I'm going to serve because I'm going to get a paycheck. So my point is that you can serve and not love. But the second part of that is this. You ready? You cannot love and not serve. If I've got true love in my heart, which, by the way, it's not a 20-step process to increase your love. I don't have to stand up here and give you 20 steps on how to grow your love. Aren't you glad for that? I'm telling you right now, if you want your love to grow, it comes through your walk with Jesus Christ, period. If you want your love to grow, it comes by you praying, by you walking with Jesus Christ in a relationship with him daily. It comes by you walking with him. And as you walk with him and you pray and you get into his word and let it speak to your heart, then your heart gets so full of love. In fact, your heart enlarges to get, you have a greater capacity to love. The more you walk with Jesus, you find your heart growing. And it's just like, man, I can love in a greater degree than I was even capable of a year ago. You know, it's like your heart just gets bigger. And then when your heart gets full of love, then it very naturally leads you to serve. If you love, you're going to serve. The love bears the fruit of service. It does. It does. I mean, if you plant an apple seed, what do you hope to get? Apples. If you could plant the seed of love, it would come up as service. Galatians 5 says, by love, serve one another. You might have saw that on the video earlier, and that's Galatians 5. By love, serve one another. If I love, the fruit it bears is I'm going to serve. In other words, if I love Denise, my wife, if I really love her, I am going to serve her gladly, and I'm going to pick up the towel. If I love her, I'm going to serve her. Period. You know, it's like, you know, this morning I was preaching my message to her. She loves it when I do that. And I was practicing on her. It was early, about 7 o'clock this morning. And it just so happens that when I said that, I said, you know what, honey? I said, if I love you, I'm going to serve you. I'm going to pick up the towel. She happened to be doing dishes, and she looked at me and said, and do dishes? She said, no pun intended, picking up the towel. I do dishes, don't I? Sometimes, right. Sometimes. Honestly, she is my example in this, what I'm preaching today. You know, I'm not pointing any fingers today, because you point a finger, they say three's pointed back at you. Certainly, that's me. Absolutely. She has taught me so much about this concept and principle that I'm giving to you. I've never seen a woman serve like her. Some of you young girls want to learn how to serve, follow her around for a week. You'll learn how to serve, if you can keep up with her. Follow her around for a week. She does almost everything she does is serving other people, and she does it so happily, so joyfully. She's so giving. You're amazing. And I am just so honored to call her my wife, because she picks up the towel every day in so many different ways. And if I love her, I'm going to pick up the towel for her. I'm going to serve her. If I love my kids, I'm going to serve them. You say, parents serving the kids? I'm going to serve them. In other words, if I love my kids, if I really love them, I'm going to serve them. I'm going to do things for their benefit, not just my benefit. I'm going to pick up the towel. If I love lost souls, I'm going to pick up the towel. I'm going to serve them gladly. You know, my neighbor the other day, he was out there, he's had a blower that was terrible, you know, and I'm like, man, dude, I got a gas blower, I don't hardly ever use it. Take it, use it. If I need it, I'll come back and get it. You know, I mean, if you love your neighbor, you're going to serve them. If you love your fellow members of the body of Christ here, if we love people at church, we're going to have a heart to serve. We're going to pick up the towel. Love doesn't think about itself all the time. It thinks of others. It serves others. Love picks up the towel. Look in your handout if you turn it to the backside. Philippians 2:4. It says, look not every man on his own things. That's self-interest, right? I'm just interested in what I want. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of what? Others. Others. Jesus picked up the towel, guys. Listen, why did he do it? I'm going to tell you exactly why he did it. It's because he loved those guys. He loved them. And I want to challenge you to ask God to give you a deeper love and a growing love for people. I'm serious. Pray about that this week. Lord, help my love to grow. Help my love to get deeper. Lord, I want to love more. You know, I mean, if you love, you're serving. And so, Lord, I want to love. I want my love to grow. I want to love more than I did last year at this time. I want to love people more, you know, than I did last month. Let me ask you something. If you prayed and you asked God to increase your love, do you think he'd answer that prayer? Yeah. He sure would. That was a little weak. I said, if you pray and ask God to increase your love, will he answer that prayer?
Yes.
Yeah, you ask for $1 million, you may not get it. But you pray and you ask God to increase your love, he'll answer that prayer every time. You know why? Because it's right in the center of his will. He's revealed his will to you. He wants you to love. And if you say, Lord, I need to love more. God, increase my love. Grow my love. He will. And it'll lead you to serve and pick up the towel every time. There's a second thing I want to give you. The last thing is this. Number two is that, we're trying to get into Christ's mind. How could he do something like that? Because most of us would recoil at that. We're like, I'm not washing them stinky feet. I ain't doing that. Honestly, I mean, let's be honest. Most of us would be that way. We're like, I'm not doing that. And you think about that. Why did he do that? Well, we've already seen that one of the motivators was he just loved them so much. But the second thing is this. Number two is that Christ served the, quote, unworthy. And the reason why I put unworthy in quotes is because that's how we feel about people and certain people, but that is not how God feels about certain people. God doesn't look at people as unworthy, but many times we do. They're not worthy of our service. And we know that God doesn't feel that way. That sure is clear from the text. Look at verse number two. This is again mind-boggling, but look at verse number two there. It says, and supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him. This is remarkable to me. I mean, this is Judas Iscariot, right? If those of you who are new to the faith, you're new to your Bible, that name may mean nothing to you, but he had 12 disciples. One of them was a traitor. One of them was going to betray him for 30 pieces of silver and is going to give him over to the authorities that would take him and crucify him. One of his own inner core group ends up turning on him, and it was Judas Iscariot. So from our perspective, this is one of the most unworthy villains of the entire Bible. Even today, right? Who names their kid Judas, right? You go to the hospital. What's his name? Judas. No. What's his name? We named him Iscariot. No. I mean, this guy's a villain, right? And Jesus Christ washes his filthy, nasty feet. Judas already knew what he was planning to do. That's the key to this. Judas already had it in his heart. He already knew. He had it all planned out. His evil intentions that he had in mind for Jesus Christ were already there. So I want you to get the picture, okay? Judas is sitting here, right? He is sitting here at the table. He's got his feet out. He knows exactly what he's going to do to the man. And yet Jesus Christ stoops down to Judas Iscariot and washes his feet. And what's amazing about that, guess who else knew what Judas was going to do? Jesus knew what he was going to do. That's clear from the text. Jesus knew the evil that he would do to him, and yet Jesus is down there on the ground washing his feet. Look at verse 21. Look at that. It says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit, and he testified, saying, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Verse 26, Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop, and when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. So Jesus knows he's going to betray him, and yet he picks up the towel and he washes the feet of Judas Iscariot. Have you ever done something for someone? It was nice. And have you ever just really been good to somebody only to have them do you dirty after you've done them good? Has anyone else in here ever experienced that? Okay. That's a great feeling, isn't it? You've served, you've really tried to be good to them, and then they end up, you know, betraying you. They end up being hateful to you. But I want you to think about this. Imagine knowing every hateful, mean thing that they are going to do to you before you serve them. Imagine if you knew every single detail of how they're going to stab you in the back, and yet you still choose to do all those good things for them that you did. That's what Jesus did when he picked up the towel. What does that teach us? It teaches us that Christian service, serving has nothing to do with serving only people who are worthy of our service. You think about the disciples. It wasn't just Judas that had issues at the table, right? I mean, you look around the table there. Hey, the 12, they were not exactly a spiritual dream team. All right? You just look around the table here, and some of them have been arguing. These guys have been arguing over who would be the greatest in the kingdom. They are arguing over who's going to have what position. And I want to be at his right hand, and I want to be at his left hand. Some of them even sent their mommy to Jesus to get him a better position than everybody else. They were prideful. They were sometimes faithless, sometimes just plain clueless. They're going to fall asleep on Jesus in his greatest hour of need in the Garden of Gethsemane when he's praying, he's crying, and he just needs them to pray with him. They're going to be snoozing away. Within a day of this supper, every one of the 12 disciples are going to forsake him. They're going to flee and run for their lives and cower behind locked doors. Peter's going to curse and deny him and say, I never knew him. Thomas is going to doubt whether he ever even rose from the dead. And Jesus Christ looks around the room at these guys, and he loved them, but it was not a beautiful looking group. And that's my point, is that as he's kneeling down with the towel in the basin, he sees dirty, stinky feet everywhere, if you know what I mean. This was not a beautiful group. But Christ served as unto the Father. He served out of love, and we're to follow his example, and we're to serve as unto Christ, not unto men. When you begin serving on the basis of who's worthy, you won't be serving long. Because you're going to end up living a secluded, selfish, miserable life. Because people are going to hurt you. People are going to disappoint you. People are going to let you down. Yes, at church too. Yes, the people you've loved and served the most. Yes, yes, yes. They're going to. Jesus Christ served knowing what all these guys are going to do to him. He did it unto the Father. Sometimes the people that hurt you the most are the ones you serve the most. And that's why you need to commit Ephesians 6:7 to memory. It's in your handout. It's a real good verse to memorize. It's not long, but it's very good. It says, with goodwill, that means with a good attitude, doing what? Service. But who am I doing service as to? As to who? As to the Lord, and not to men. In other words, when I serve, I'm doing it as unto Jesus Christ, not just because I think they're worthy of my service. Is your love for people growing? You know, here's the thing. I'm going to challenge you guys. I really am. I'm going to challenge you not to let the Super Bowl, not to let anything today take the seed of the Word of God today and snatch it away from you, as Jesus talked about. The seed is there, but then it's taken away. I'm going to challenge you to not let that happen. And I'm going to challenge you to take that home and pray about it this week. And read that text. I challenge you to read John 13 at least the first 5, 6, 7 verses at least 4 or 5 times this week. Read it. Read it. And then I want you to ask yourself a couple questions this week. Look yourself in the mirror. And sometimes it's really tough to be honest with ourselves, but you gotta look in the mirror and you gotta say, you know what? Is my love for people growing? I don't want you to ask yourself that this week. Is my love for people growing? Remember, it's going to show up through service. But you know, is my love stronger today than it was last year? Hey, I got one for you. Is my love for the church body here stronger than it was when I joined the church? Is my love for my church family greater than when I first joined the church? Some of you joined the church 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. Is my love for people in this church greater? I mean, right here, let's just start here at home, right? Is my love greater now than it was when I joined? And so many times the answer is no, it isn't. Why? Because I see all the chinks in everybody's armor, and by the way, we've all got them. Everyone in here has chinks in their armor, including yours truly. Nobody in here is perfect. We've all got issues. We've all got struggles. We've all got problems. We've all got baggage that we have brought in to our relationship with Christ from our past. We've all got things that we do and that we know are not right. And then, you know, people are like, why did you do that? And what's your answer? I don't know. I don't know why I did that. I'm stupid. I don't know why I did that. And when you get in a church or you get in a marriage, you know, or you get into a relationship, you find out everyone's got problems. Is my love for people growing, though? Is it growing through Christ? Look at the next thing. I want you to ask yourself this week, when was the last time, it says in your handout, when was the last time you served somebody that you felt didn't deserve your service? And then look at the next thing in your handout. This is just a few challenges for you this week to think about. Will you keep your eyes open for opportunities to serve this coming week? And when you're tempted to think, I'm not doing that, let somebody else do that, it's not my job, I want you to think about this message and I want you to say, you know what, I can pick up the towel. I got it. I can pick up the towel. And this week, I'm challenging myself, just like you, that when I'm tempted to think, I'm not doing that, let someone else do that. No, Dan Proctor, pick up the towel. Pick up the towel, Dan. Just do it. Will you serve? Will you pick up the towel like Christ did?